I love tea.
Are we taping?
We are now.
Yay! You know what? I had too much coffee because my eyeballs feel like they're going to roll out of my face.
Really?
Are they
I
stable? Are they stable?
No, they look good. One of them's kind of wandering.
No, I had a cup of coffee. I had a regular cup of coffee, and then I came here. I got here early because I got a good parking spot.
Oh, love it.
And now I had another cup of coffee complimentary, and now I'm just like, I'm vibrating because I haven't eaten anything.
Oh, that'll do it.
I was looking for food, and I didn't see anything I wanted, so now I'm just like,
so Ronit, we're like exact opposites right now because I actually made myself a really good hot breakfast.
Ooh,
I made,
tell me what it was.
I made scrambled eggs with avocado and hot sauce.
Okay.
And then
no, it doesn't excite me, but
it's not international.
I mean, it's a really good hot breakfast. I mean, where's the toast? And
I know.
Where's the cheese?
I know. Well, I did put a little bit of cheese with salt and pepper
for
and
a hard cheese. I got some rules.
You got some rules. I love it. And then I didn't have an extra cup of coffee on the way in this morning because I have my kids' parent-teacher conference.
And you don't want to have your eyeballs rolling out of your head.
No, I'm going to get coffee right before
Okay.
But I also texted his teacher. Well, I emailed her. I don't even know why I just said texted. Isn't it weird how we default to that?
Well, but anyway. I think what you mean is you typed words.
Exactly. I typed words to her and was like, I can already predict at 6 o'clock this morning that I will be stopping at the coffee stand on the way into our conference.
So you're planning your coffee, which is important because I have not. Because after this, I have another hour basically to kill before my next thing. So I'm probably going to get some coffee.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to have to get a Danish.
Do you know what? What?
Danish is one of those words that makes me so happy to say and to think about what it means.
Really?
Do you have words like that?
Lunch.
I don't like lunch as much. I like Danish.
I like the word lunch.
I was thinking about meals. Like, what meal name makes you the happiest? So is it lunch between breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Like, what makes you happiest?
Just the sound and the taste of the word in my mouth. Lunch. It makes me think of, like, sandwiches wrapped in wax paper. And
like the old days.
Yeah. Like,
what about you, lunch. Sarah? I'm, like, dying to ask you. Like, what's your favorite?
Brunch.
You like brunch, which is a really nice. That does a lot of work, that word.
It's your
because
snack.
You know you're. No, I like to give snack to my kids, but mine isn't snack. I don't know what my favorite one is. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, what is my very favorite meal to have ready to have in front of me?
Soft,
like, I'm not sure.
Soft cheese, apparently.
Baguette.
Breads.
So you're
breads
listening to Mouthy, Messy, Mandatory.
I'm Katie.
I'm Ronit. And you probably knew you were listening because we're talking about food.
Yep.
Which is something that I started, which
and,
I can't.
And stop. Coffee. And kids.
And kids. That's true. And so we have an announcement.
This is our last episode. For a little while, at least.
Yes. For
I
a
mean,
little while at
I'm
least.
Really. So I. It should be said that, like, I'm really bad at change.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really bad at change. So the idea of just being like, okay, this is it.
That would be hard.
That's like impossible to me. That's like all of those languages where goodbye isn't a real thing. Like, there's no sense of finality to it.
Didn't
it's more
know
like
about those.
See you later.
Is that right? Like,
until
when we
meet again. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a where? Where is that?
Where I don't know. Shit, I was really.
Wait, are you like, you were hoping I wasn't going to ask you? One second.
Can I say
is
the word
like
polyglot?
There's a million words for snow?
Yeah.
Okay,
but not,
you don't have an example.
But not. I don't. And I just wanted to say the word polyglot real quick, kind of out of context, but not really. And also, I was really hoping you weren't going to
ask
me
for
an example.
Right?
I can Google it.
No, it's
but
fine.
You know, like when
someone
you,
out there knows.
Like when you think about like in, you know, like, okay. So like in Spanish, when you say like, me gusta el queso. It means I like cheese, but it doesn't mean I like cheese. It means cheese pleases me.
Oh.
So like, but that's, it's just like, it kind of translates to the same idea of like enjoyment of the cheese, but
it's not on the nose.
It's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, thank you cheese for pleasing me. And I kind of like that.
I
kind of like that. But in the same way that like goodbye, it's not like we're done. It's like, okay. This is a season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I, like a lot of things, assumed I'd be A-okay, but now I feel a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel sad. Everything is a mixed thing, I think, usually, most of the time. And so I'm going to miss seeing your punim. Do you know what a punim is?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because you took your kids to the JCC.
I did.
A punim in Yiddish is a face. So I'm going to miss seeing your face over the mic across from me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me
and too. Your little kid in the corner cooing and making little rabbit noises.
Yeah. And stuff like that over there. I don't... You know, did I ever tell you about my kid? Okay. This is not at all in line with what the conversation that we're having, but I think it's really important to tell the story.
Yeah.
So my six-year-old is precocious and, has a lot of intellectual curiosity about things that he can't emotionally handle yet, right? This is a very common thing for a lot of kids. Mm. But when he was in therapy, his therapist told us, like, you have to be really careful with him because he will ask you questions that he doesn't actually want to know the answers to. Mm. And he will keep pushing and pushing and pushing because he is really curious. But then once you tell him things, he won't be able to unknow them and they'll freak him out and they'll rock him emotionally. Yeah. And this happened because we were talking about sounds that animals make in the car one day. And, you know, we did like, what sound does a cow make? And what sound does a horse make? And then he asked me, what sound does a rabbit make? Does a rabbit even make any sounds?
Right. Which is a very that's like a very common thing.
Common thing.
Right?
And I said, kind of without thinking, it only makes one sound. And then I didn't say anything. Sarah, do you know this?
No.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And so then like the silence stretched out and it was like, well, what sound does it make? I've never heard a rabbit make a sound. I said, well, and this is when I had those little voices in my head being like,
death scream? Yes. You're going to tell us that you told your son that the rabbit makes a death scream?
Yes.
Like a lobster when they're boiling?
Yes. And I had this
funny
moment.
Choice, Katie.
I know. I had this moment where I was like, this might be one of those moments. But I was like, you got to be honest with him, Katie. Be honest with him and respect him. And so I said, it only makes one noise. Pause. Well, what noise does it make, Mommy? And I said, well, this is a bad idea, Katie. But I'm going to say it anyway. Right before a rabbit dies, it screams.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Katie. What's wrong with you?
So
we're both grabbing our faces. Like both of our eyes are being pulled downward by our fingertips because we're both like, wah.
And that was the moment I surrendered the high ground in parenting to my husband because I had to come home and explain to him why our son was so upset. And I was like, well, he asked what noise rabbits make. And he immediately took like the six leaps forward and was like, you didn't. And I was like,
yes. Well, you know what's funny? I have something similar, but now that I think about it, it's so much more innocuous than what you did. My daughter once asked when she was 4 or 5, like, are we always going to live in this house? And I was like, I wasn't sure we were always going to live in the house. And instead of saying, of course, honey, which felt a little like a lie to me because there's uncertainty in everything.
Sure.
I said, well, I mean, we might live here. We might move sometime. And then the therapist I was seeing at the time, there's, you know, whatever. She was like, why would you say that? I swear. And then I told my husband and he's like, why would you say that?
And I was like, wait, what is...
Why? Can't I just say, like, I'm not positive we're always going to live here. Isn't it reasonable? So I was feeling like a really bad mom until you told me that story.
Also, I would just like to say, even though you're totally not on my team on the rabbit scream thing, and well, I'm not really either. No, I'm not really either. I'm 100% on your team with the moving thing, where it's like, you don't... Because kids will remember that shit. Sure, a 4 or 5-year-old will remember that shit. And then if you're moving in a year, they're going to be like, but mommy lied.
And it's possible that I'm maybe like airbrushing this a little bit. I might have said something worse. I'm not sure.
I'm just like, you might have said until we die.
It's possible my memory is not right here, but it's around that. It's that idea of like uncertainty and why would you even entertain uncertainty in front of your child when there's already enough uncertainty in their life? And I was like, because that was how my life was. So screw it. Like when I was a kid, like I had a lot of uncertainty. You can know that maybe this house won't be your house. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Wow, we're going dark.
I can tell.
Rabbit screams.
No. I can tell that you've done a lot of therapy, Ronit, because you just connected it seamlessly to your own childhood.
Yeah, I know. And I know what's really going on.
I know. As a parent, it's so important to notice that like the things you do to your kids are also the things that were done to you. And then like before you notice that, you're not culpable for them. But then after you notice it, it's like, okay, I gotta work on
this. There's no free ride.
Yeah.
No
I gotta
free lunch.
I gotta notice this out loud.
Lunch.
So turning me on, Renee.
So anyway, we started this podcast a year ago together.
Yeah, a little over a year
and
ago.
And our first episode was about Louis C.K., mm-hmm. who so conveniently like the news story of his broke.
That's why we're quitting. It's Louis C.K. We didn't fix it with our podcast. I don't know what else we can
He's
do.
He's back, so obviously we're done. No, that's not why. But I'm just, this is really actually our year anniversary.
Today?
I mean, around.
Oh my God.
It is. It was like mid-November pretty much. Yeah, Sarah's nodding.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered a lot of ground. We have a ton of episodes you can listen to, which are no longer relevant. But
they'll always be relevant. Louis C.K. is fucking back again. Every time Louis C.K. pops his little dirty, unapologetic gerbil head out of his little hole, you can just go back and listen to that Louis C.K. episode again and be like, oh, he still hasn't dealt with this? Great. Still relevant.
Totally. And you know what's interesting? I know we did an episode on Monica Lewinsky a long time ago, and we also continually question why it's ever been called the Monica Lewinsky scandal, etc. But guess what? There's a new show called The Clinton Affair.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so she's interviewed in it. And I thought, wow, you know, that's great. That's at least some progress there.
Those producers obviously listen
to our show.
So
what was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you if there's anything you wanted to mention before we go.
I think it's important for just a second to like take a minute and like be in the moment. We're here in the booth and we're doing our last thing. And I wonder like what... First of all, okay, we haven't explained why. And I don't think there has to be like a huge explanation, but just Ronita and I both feel like there are other creative projects that are real, like we really, really need to give our time and energy to. And so like Ronita has written a full length memoir, and that's fucking amazing.
So now I have to start like harassing agents and getting it out there and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean that's a huge, huge accomplishment. And it's like it's so depressing also because once you write a book, you're like, great, I'm 20% done.
No, I know. And actually a friend of mine messaged me and said, well, congratulations on finishing a book. And I thought, yeah, I guess. But the thing is once you finish the book, you've already done so much of the work that way that you forget to give yourself credit. Like
yes,
I just because so now true. I'm just at the beginning of my journey, right? I'm waiting to hear back from agents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then of course there will be revisions, and of course hopefully it will sell, and of course blah 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 blah. So it's really you just got to start writing the next book.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And then you're working on some screenplays.
I'm working I have been working on screenplays for about a year, and any screenwriter will tell you, like, if you're like, I've been working on a screenplay for the year, they're like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, what are you writing, and or do you know what you're doing? And the answer is I don't know, and no.
Which is always the best sign in an artist to not know what you're doing. If you think you know what you're doing, forget it.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And for a while I kind of was stuck in the mud and trying to figure out what I was doing because I was so intimidated by the form. And you actually told me on a phone call where I was just dumping it all out to you, where I was like, I think I'm terrible at this. I hate not being good at things. I hate failing. And it's so uncomfortable. Especially in something that's supposed to be related to my wheelhouse. It's a completely different form, but like, I'm a writer. I should be able to write, right?
Right, but... Right.
Yeah. But, so you told me, and I wrote it down when you said it to me.
Oh, cool.
It's okay to not know. It's okay that you don't know. And just so, like you saying that to me and giving me that like permission to just be like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. It has completely changed the way I'm approaching this process.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, mama, I put my own training wheels back on and it feels so fucking good. I am like reading way more screenplays than I'm trying to write right now, which is way more important. And I was reversed on that.
Mm.
And now I'm like taking scenes from other screenplays and kind of rewriting them with different characters and different setups and different, you know, stakes and the whole nine yards. But like I'm doing what I'm calling practice scenes where I'm learning how to do this thing, but it is exhausting and it's really, really consuming to learn this thing and to like be at peace with failing at it for a while.
Be patient, right? Because yeah. I think you and I and so many people are result oriented, and mm-hmm. it's hard to be patient and know like it's coming. It may not happen exactly when you think so, but and in terms of results, yeah. So I'm proud of you for making a change, because it's really hard, I think, to switch tracks and to change.
It is really
right?
hard.
Change is
it
hard.
It is really hard. And especially because I think this podcast has been so meaningful, not just to us, but to the relationships that we've built with people
yes.
through the podcast, right? Like our team here at Large Media has been incredible. And, you know, Sarah, Tina, Joelle, have building that relationship. And like, for me, re-entering kind of a workplace, even an arty creative workplace, and having the permission to bring my kid and have him sit in the corner and play on his iPad every single time and just have it understood, like, this is a hard time to get a sitter.
Yes.
You know, and that's okay. And it's not a big deal. And nobody's like mad about it.
Yep.
You know, not just the amazing team here and being surrounded by like creative women and like an exclusively female team. That was fucking mind blowing, right? Like, just never having to defend the idea that stories about women are for everybody. We yes. never had to pitch that. We never had to go to the ground for that. That was amazing and really, really meaningful and like empowering and you know, opens up a lot of possibilities once you realize like, oh shit, this is possible. To just be in a place where your personhood isn't constantly under attack. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And also our listeners.
I know our listeners.
Like the relationships that we've had with them.
It's so great to hear from people on Facebook and private messages and just on and post, you know, when you send us notes and you ask us questions and you have suggestions for us, we really appreciate it. And the Facebook page is going to still be there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ronit and I are still going to be Ronit and I.
It's true. I'm not changing.
And isn't it funny that I was like, I'm not going it. Like, it's again, that discomfort with the idea of like something ending where it's like, I have to affirm all of the things that are not ending. You know, like Thanksgiving is coming up.
I know.
FYI, we have a kick-ass Thanksgiving episode
year. Yeah, we do. And it has icebreakers and stuff for your uncomfortable table.
Yes.
And with a holiday coming up, I was speaking to someone who runs a nonprofit here, who's the head of a nonprofit in Seattle. And we were talking about, this is just a little story that can hopefully inspire you or you can pass this on. There was a turkey drive. They were giving out turkeys to high school students to bring home, you know, for people who were underserved and under-resourced. You know, you can bring this turkey home and you can, you know, have it, you know, for Thanksgiving. It's a donation. And like, there wasn't the giant response that they thought there would be. And there was some curiosity as to why people weren't leaping at bringing these turkeys home. And in some cases, it's important to meet people. Well, it's always important to meet people where they are, but it's also important to realize that some people, especially if you're food insecure, you may not have the means to cook a turkey. You may
right?
not have, if you're a child, you may not have a parent in the house who is in any condition to use an oven, you may not have enough, any resources.
Big ass pan.
You need a pan. So what this woman was saying was in this particular case, actually coupons to McDonald's was the best Thanksgiving you could give this family because you can't, the turkey sitting in the fridge is not going to help anyone.
Yeah.
And there are children in the house who need to eat and no one who can really help them make this turkey. So I guess what I'm taking away from that is this holiday season and always, as much as you want to do something the way you want to do it, try to meet the people around you and the people you want to help where they are.
Yes.
So, you know, if you can understand something that you didn't understand before, if you can try to see what someone's point of view might be so that you can discuss yours with them in a calmer way, if you can actually go get that drink for someone who needs a drink at Starbucks, that's what they really want. They really are asking you not just for a dollar, but can you please go get me a drink when you go inside that store that I really can't go into? Maybe try to do something for someone the way that they want it done.
You know, that reminds me of that fundraiser for sanitary supplies for pads and tampons for girls of the Lakota Nation. Mm-hmm. Because on the res, pads and tampons are incredibly expensive. And it's really hard for families to afford those things because they're taxed as a luxury, which don't we, I,
we've talked about,
listen
that.
To our pink tax episode. Yeah. Okay. It's bullshit. And, I had posted it on the Katie, Katie, Kate Facebook page.
Yeah.
Like, please share this, please contribute. If you can send them a box of tampons, send, you know, donate a little bit of money to this fund for these girls. It's not fair that they're missing school over this, over something that they can't control in their bodies. And somebody responded like, oh, what about Diva cups? What about Moon cups? And like, on the one hand, thank you for the suggestion. That's an interesting idea. On the other hand, this fundraiser was not put together by stupid people. Moon cups and Diva cups are not an obscure product. Maybe they were 5 years ago, but they're not today. They are aware of the existence of this product. They have asked for pads and tampons. Yep. Please don't like charge into this and assume that because you like the Diva cup, it's the best solution for the people in this situation, because it may not be, for whatever reason. And it's not your job to tell them how to live their lives. They're just saying, hey, we could use a little help. And you should show up for that without having to put your ego into it, you know?
Yeah.
Mine's a little bit more confrontational than yours.
What a surprise.
I feel like we should just get t-shirts made.
Well, you also didn't even use any profanity just now.
I know.
I hope that you aren't too sad, because I'd feel better if you would just like shout out June F.
Fucking fuck.
So, Large Fuck Media, who's our producer, has a really amazing podcast that went away. It went away for, it had its run and now it's back. It's called We the People with Nina Turner.
Amazing.
And it's amazing. Nina Turner is quite something. And she's appeared on several, well, quite a few news shows as a pundit.
She just has such great perspective, you know, having worked in the government and as someone who has heard a lot of different stories from a lot of different constituents, and really seen the government operate at lots of different levels. She has amazing conversations with people that really go deeper than, you know, your regular like CNN interview or whatever.
That's right. So know? We the People
with Nina Turner, definitely check that out. Are there any other podcasts that you're really loving right now? Because what we want to do is we want to like say we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
And then leave you with some fun things to fill your time with. If we're not in your ears, we want to leave you with some good recommendations.
Yeah. Well, this is produced by a woman, The Daily. You know, I love The Daily.
The Daily.
The New York Times. I listen to almost every single one of those. Sometimes there will be a topic I'm not that interested in. But I love The Daily because, much like our podcast, it's really just about 25 minutes long, 27 minutes long. You can kind of get a shot of news.
Sometimes ours are longer than
that. Yeah, lately they've been longer. But the nice thing about The Daily is they dive a little bit deep, they get some experts, and then you're done.
Yeah.
So what about you? Because you're a big podcast listener.
I'm a big podcast listener. So I just started listening to Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. I really like it. I wasn't sure that I would, but the first one I listened to was actually the first ever podcast episode for them. And it was him interviewing his wife, Kristen Bell. Mm-hmm. And they had been fighting before they started recording the podcast. And so what I heard was this really healthy conflict resolution where they had real feelings. They weren't like, I feel a little bit angry. You know, they were like, you're irritating me. And they both like were fine with having that conversation. It was amazing. It was amazing. So I'm in the middle of his David Sedaris episode. It's fantastic.
So is he good at interviewing?
He's very good at interviewing. Yeah. Okay, he's good. Very good at interviewing. And it doesn't feel like an interview. He always asks really insightful questions. Like at one point he asked his wife, Kristen Bell, about whether she thinks that they contribute to this kind of culture of comparison that's been amplified by social media. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wow, that's a really good one. And I had never thought that a celebrity would ask themselves that question necessarily, or be comfortable having that conversation publicly. And they talked about like why it's so important to stay real and, you know, but at the same time, it's okay for you to have a pretty Instagram feed. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're not pretending that's all there ever is in your life. Anyway, I think it's really, really interesting. What else am I listening to right now? The third season of Serial was amazing. It was, inside one courthouse in Cleveland. The Mistake by the Lake. Cleveland. But it was interesting because they had full access. The courthouse would let them just walk around with recorders all day. And they covered kind of just the inner workings of this one courthouse, how the justice system works or doesn't. It's fascinating. Someone recommended In the Dark to me, but it's all about like fucking child kidnappings. And I'm like, who, do you know me at all? That's not for me.
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Are you not? Not crazy.
No.
Are you high?
Okay, there you go. That's good.
And I'm loving Appointment Television also with Margaret Willison. She's so funny. And they are currently doing a hate watching of The Newsroom, season one of The Newsroom.
Oh, okay. That's kind of fun.
It's really fun because I hate The Newsroom.
I never watched it.
The first time I watched...
Is that Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels.
Who, did you ever see him in Terms of Endearment?
Yes.
You've seen Terms of Endearment?
I've seen
we
Terms of Endearment.
We actually have a common...
Yes.
Wow. Did you like it?
It was a long time ago and I barely remember it.
Hey, one of my favorite movies. I'm older. Go on.
Our common ground is shrinking. No, but I love it because that, I, as much as I love The West Wing, watching The Newsroom gave me a new lens through which to view The West Wing, where it was like, oh shit, Aaron Sorkin really doesn't write women well at all. Because like I love C.J. Craig so much in The West Wing. But now that I'm watching The Newsroom, especially rewatching it, well, I'm not rewatching it, but listening to them rewatch it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, damn.
We change.
Really,
we change.
Yeah. Yeah. I've grown past The West Wing. I'm over it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's gone.
That's only took like a year. Because when I met you, you were, I mean, when we started doing this, actually.
Seriously. I mean, things happen that quickly. And actually with The West Wing, I'm totally okay letting it go with like no, you know. No big deal. It's over.
So, yeah, there are a ton of podcasts out there you can watch. Those are just a smattering.
Or listen to.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, The West Wing. The West Wing. We're talking about TV. The Newsroom. Shut up.
I know. I just love you so much.
Well.
And we are going to miss you.
Yeah.
We're going to miss getting in your ears.
But here's where you can find us.
Yes, you can find me on my blog. It's katiekatiekate.com, KatieKatieKate.com.
Also, you have a Twitter feed.
Yeah, it's Yo Katie Katie Kate. I also own at Katie Katie Kate, but it's a whole thing. I started a Twitter account for Katie Katie Kate, and then I forgot that I did that, and then a year went by, and I was like, I should really start a Twitter feed for the blog. And I was like, oh, shoot, somebody already took Katie, Katie, Kate. I guess I'll add a yo in the front of it. And it was fucking me.
Who else would do that?
I know.
So there are many ways to find you.
By the time I figured it out, I already had enough followers on Yo, Katie, Katie, Kate that I didn't want to fucking switch it over. So I was like, fuck it. I don't even care.
I'm just at Plank Ronit, at Plank Ronit for Twitter. And then I have a page where all my writing and news is, which is ronitfineglassplank.com. And I update that. And so you can find me there and whatever new
and
stuff I publish.
And Mouthy Messy Mandatory on Facebook is going to continue to bring you cutting edge videos of Jeff Goldblum. And
I'm going to take a picture of the giant blanket my brother-in-law and my sister made for my husband of Jeff Goldblum. It's in my house. It's folded so you can always see one of his eyes.
I think we talked about this on our Thanksgiving episode last year.
We did.
It kind of feels like we're bringing it full circle right now.
Yep. So I'm going to put a big picture of that blanket, that giant blanket, up on our page just to say hi, everyone. And thank you so much for listening and for all the feedback and for rooting us on, you guys.
Thanks for everything. Time for the next season.
Yep.
Whatever it is. If you love this podcast, like we loved making it, and you want more kick-ass content produced by fantastic, smart, funny, weird, twisted women, you can find Large Media at largemedia.com. And they're also on social media. Just search on Facebook, Large, L-A-R-J, Media, and Twitter at Large Media. Boom. Should I say, are you ready to rock and roll?
What's that? What is that?
Is Go Get 'Em Tiger worse than Let's Rock and Roll?
I don't know. I'm a little
sad.
They're
all pretty bad. I know. It's okay. Sadness is a thing everybody feels.
Okay. Yeah.